Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
The first person we've got coming up to preach today is Conan John. Why don't you give him a big round of applause as he takes the stage? Come on, Conan. And I'm just going to take a moment to brag on him before I let him do what he wants to do. Conan is our youth coordinator. So he leads our youth ministry here at our campus, runs our junior high program here every fortnight. And he's an incredible young man and leader. And he's also got this deep well within him that flows out of such an incredibly intimate relationship with God. He's anointed and called to do this and to lead this. And I just know today you're going to be incredibly blessed as he shares the word. So Conan, it's over to you. Why don't you give him another big round of applause? Let me swap with you.
What a great start. Good morning, church. As Pastor Mel said, my name's Conan and I am the youth coordinator here at Nations Port Kennedy. And I first want to say that I've stood on stage at youth in front of hundreds of teenagers, but still this is scarier than that. I just want to say that I'm so incredibly thankful to be part of a church that cares so much for the generations. The only reason I'm on stage here is because of the youth leaders that invested into me and challenged me to step out and to go out of my comfort zone, to go and do things that God wanted me to do, but I didn't even see. So yeah, I'm so incredibly thankful to be able to lead a youth ministry here today that is doing that same thing, that is building up our teenagers. And I can see so much that is on their life, and it's such a privilege to be able to call that out in them, to see them grow in what God wants to do in their lives. Every week like Jonah said, we've got amazing things happening in our youth ministry. We've got an awesome team of young adults that come and lead and disciple and pray for and lead these young people that come in. And every week there's a dose of the Holy Spirit that we get. And yeah, we create an opportunity for these young people to experience the love of God. And yeah, as we are obedient in coming and serving and giving our time to what God has placed on our hearts, we actually facilitate an area where God can move. And this is the title of my sermon, which is The Blessing of Obedience. And this comes from a place of revelation in me of the blessing that actually comes when we hear the word of God and actually outwork that and do what he wants us to do. And this is going to be a very practical message, as personally, that's how I want to view the gospel. I don't want it to be something that I just read or hear about. It's actually something that I want to live out as I know it's true and carry the burden that there's people in our world who need to hear it. During the last school holidays, I attended and served at a Youth Alive conference, and this was an incredible conference, and we had some of our youth and our youth leaders there. There was over 700 youth from various youth groups around Perth over 3 days that came to praise the Lord and lean into his presence. We had an amazing guest speaker come over from the USA named Pastor Brandon Cormier, and he also shared at the Myrie campus during that weekend. He shared an incredible sermon titled The Anatomy of a Revivalist, and spoke of the qualities that were present in some of history's greatest revivalists. And the point that stood out to me the most was when he mentioned Noah, which was God's chosen and revivalist to build the ark. And something that Noah had that allowed God to use him so powerfully was the fear of God. And this phrase, fear of God, it holds incredible weight. And I don't have time, unfortunately, to go deeper into it, but it just means that Noah knew the weight of the word of God. He knew the authority that the word carried, and he knew that when God said now, he meant now. And from this story of Noah, Pastor Brandon highlighted that delayed obedience is disobedience. And when I heard this, I felt deeply convicted. A mix of opposition but acceptance grew in me as I reflected on all the times Mum had asked me to take the rubbish out or do the dishwasher. But I want to speak on a scripture that speaks on obedience, and it's in James 1, verse 22 to 25 in the NIV. And it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And I just want to highlight verse 25 and just that ending where it says, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. Wow. So my first point is, don't forget what you have heard. It's pretty hard to be obedient when you're not actually, when you don't know what you're supposed to do, right? And you may ask yourself, what am I supposed to do? And the answer to that is, for me, is both very simple and very personal. And I want to give some very biblical truths and examples of things that I feel we are all being called to do in some way or another. And they are, number one, prayer. In James 5:16, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Number two is making disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Number three is submitting to the Lord. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Number four is forgiving others. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And ultimately, number five is imitating Jesus' life, which is what Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 11:1, as he says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now, there are an abundance of things that God tells us to be obedient in and teaches us to do, but I believe that these five things are foundational to what it means to be a Christian, to walk in the way that Jesus asked us to. But another area to be obedient in is what God is calling to you personally. We all have a call to ministry, and that can look like so many different things, but I encourage you, seek the Lord. And it's a biblical truth that when you seek him, he'll reveal himself to you. And my second point is, just do it. Once you know what you know, once you know what God wants you to do, move like Noah with the fear of the Lord leading you to obedience. Don't wait, just do it. And I hope that every time you see a pair of Nikes now, you remember that. And I'd encourage you that it can get tough sometimes. And there are many accounts of God's people being tested throughout Scripture. But as you place your trust in Jesus, having faith that his will is greater than yours, he'll grace your steps and bless you in all that you do, just as we've spoken about in James 1:25. Now, for me, I felt that God put youth ministry on my heart and called me to serve in that. So I want to be obedient in discipling these students, praying for them, submitting myself to the Lord so that they would be blessed. And I want to close with encouragement. Like I said before, we are all called into ministry. For me, that's serving in youth. For you, it might just be as simple as catching up with someone for a coffee if they need a friend to talk to. Yeah. But in everything, be obedient to him and he'll bless you. So seek him. Seek out his will and not forget what you have heard. Be obedient and just do it, knowing that God will be with you through every season that he calls you into. Thank you, church.
So good. That's what we do.
Incredible. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. What an incredible preacher of the word. And so great to hear the depth of the revelation that comes through that. I hope that blessed you today. Today, we're also going to be hearing from our young adult coordinator, David Shipton. So why don't you put your hands together for him? So good. And I just want to take a moment. I'm just going to brag a bit today on our young guys and girls because they are amazing. And so David leads our young adult ministry here at our campus. He runs Connect groups and oversees another one. But he also serves a lot in our kids ministry and leads in that space incredibly well. Also, he's a real blessing to myself and Mark personally, as well as he's come alongside our boys and encouraged them. But also, I just love the way that he divides the word and he hears the voice of God. He's got an incredible prophetic gift on his life. And I'm just excited to hear what God's going to bring as he shares the word today. So why don't you put your hands together for him again, and it's all over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Mel. We are really blessed to have you and Pastor Mark as leaders of this house. Like, honestly, I think massive thank you. I wouldn't be where I am today without you guys. But yeah, I want to get right really into it really straight away. So we're going to be hitting off straight with scripture. Matthew 11, 28, verse 30. Can we actually leave it on the screen for the whole time? If that's perfect. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The last 5 months of my life have been a big challenge, right? And you probably haven't been able to see it, but it's all been up here. It's been big. I study a master's degree in counseling at the moment, and so a lot of my stuff is actually thinking, okay, how can I help someone else think and challenge their thought life to help improve themselves? And the only way I can do that is to challenge my own thought life. But the thing is, right, I'm a Christian, and when I base everything off, I can't always be looking at a textbook what to do. I actually have to look at the textbook, which is what God's basic instruction before leaving earth is for, right? So I've been really like digging through, going, God, where are you speaking about mental health in the Bible? And he brought me back to this verse where it's, come to me, right? This whole thing of like, when we got our struggle, we're actually meant to come to him first and go, God, you know what? My burden is heavy. I'm tired. I'm weary. What have you got? Because this is where God then promises that when we do come to him, his burden is gentle, he's humble of heart, he's restful, yeah, and it's light. Yeah. And I want that on my life. Do you not want that? So this first thing, like this big thing that God says, we must come first. Yeah. We actually have to get in his presence, which is an act of intentionality, right? We actually have to be really intentional. It says in Revelation 3:20, here I am. It's an exclamation mark. This is Jesus speaking as well. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I think it's such a great illustration that one, God is a gentleman, right? And it's a great promise too that he's standing at everybody's door, right? He is knocking there. He's going, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. He's just waiting for us to walk up to the door, open it and let him in. That's the act of coming first. So we need to actually go up to God and say, hey, you know what? You're here. You want to present me with your yoke? I'm ready for it. I'm open for it, right? And then this second part, right? Everyone say the word learn. Learn. We must learn to carry his yoke, right? We're not, it's so hard, right? Who knows, like when we hear this promise, like gentle, humble, restful, light, right? When we take on God's yoke, that does not mean we're going to be sitting under the mango tree, sipping pina coladas on some nice beach, right? If you've experienced that, please, like, teach me your ways. Because when my experience has happened, I've taken on God, you know what, in this moment, in my stress, with the exams, with just family life that's going on, with relationships going on around me, like, God, I want to take on your burden because it's light and easy to bear. I don't get teleported out to a beach somewhere, right? I'm actually still in the thick of it, right? I'm still there. And I think that's a big example for all of us. We're actually still in the thick of it. But what changes is our perspective. Yeah. It's this perspective of we're no longer carrying all the world's struggles and the world's ideas, like our pride, our ideas, what other people think of us, right? Even just a struggle of just torment or stress, anxiety, right? That's the world's yoke for us. God's actually saying, you know what, actually learn to put my yoke on in this place and actually have a godly, heavenly perspective.
Wow.
A perspective that actually sees everything, you know what? You know, I don't actually have to think about this, but God is actually thinking about this. One of the greatest things I did this year, I had people do New Year resolutions about going to the gym and working out and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, I've done the gym many years running and getting fit. But this year I said, you know what, God, my New Year's resolution is going to be to let you do all the thinking.
Yeah.
Just a pause on that. Just, God, you think about it. And I'm just going to listen to what you say.
Right.
And since doing that, my overthinking hasn't stopped, but it's decreased rapidly and significantly is the right word. My confidence has grown.
Yeah.
My identity in Christ has just become so secure, right? It's this moment of going, you know what, God, I'm just going to learn and hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the final part, the third point, I want everyone to say the word remain. Remaining with God's yoke on you, we are not going to do it perfectly, right? I haven't met anyone who's gone, you know, I have constantly always gone to every problem and gone, you know what, God is so with me, he is light. I just feel the gentleness, I just feel the humble, God is directing me. The reality of that is we are not perfect, but we are progressive. So when I say the word remain, and it's like we're not going to be perfectly carrying God's yoke on us all the time, and I think that's a really unbelievable expectation for us, right? It's a good expectation to have that we can carry it for 24/7, but in reality, we're going to struggle with it. So I actually really want to speak today is like with that expectation. One, like this is what forgiveness is for, right?
Wow.
John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That is such an example of unconditional love that we cannot even fathom, that God came down to this earth, sacrificed himself, went to hell, and then rose again 3 days later because he loved us. Not because we were worthy, but because he loved us. Sometimes we are not worthy to carry the yoke of Jesus. We aren't. It's reality. But because of God's unconditional love that requires no transaction, he'll do it anyway. Again, in a heartbeat. So when it comes to remaining, I think it just comes as resting in God. Going, you know what, I'm going to just keep pushing closer and keep pushing closer. And this is the whole thing. We're not perfect, but we're progressive. So we're going to keep progressing closer and closer to God. Final verse. It's not on the screen, but it was one that deeply got me. It's Psalms 46:10, and I read it from the NASB 1995 translation. And it says, "Stop striving and know that I am God," which is usually where we stop. But the second half of that verse is, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." When we stop striving, rest, and I'm not talking about resting in the Bahamas. What David's actually talking about here is actually resting and waiting for God's movement. And then the second part, God will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted among the earth. That is humbling to me because it shows that he is all powerful and he is all great. So church, family, let's take up Jesus' yoke. It's going to be good. Anyway, thank you.
How incredible. What a great reminder to just lean into Jesus when you need, when you're in struggle, when you need rest. Beautiful. Hey, we're going to hear now our last Next Gen preacher, Crystal John. So why don't you put your hands together for Crystal? Come on, Crystal. She's got a couple of fans here in the front row, I think. Crystal is an incredible young woman. I hope that if you haven't met her yet, that you will, and you'll get to have some incredible conversations with her. I love spending time with her and just hearing her heart for Jesus and what God, what her heart is for what he wants to do through her and in her. She is an incredible youth leader, part of our youth team, looks after our girls' connects and also just supports in every way she can in that space. She's also a worship leader, so you'll recognise her face because she's often leads worship here on a Sunday. And she has a deep well of what God's doing in her life and just loves the word and loves Jesus. And so I'm excited that we get to hear from her today and what God's placed in her heart. So lean in, give your amen and big cheers. And yeah, one more big round of applause for her as she starts.
Thank you. Yes, as Pastor Mel said, my name is Crystal John. For those that don't know, the first preacher, Conan, he's my brother. So he is the youth coordinator. I am his youth leader, so he's my boss in that space. So as many of you may have seen, I do worship lead up here. So it is weird to be up on this stage not singing this morning, but preaching. So it'll be good. I mean, I could, but no. So yeah, this morning, it is a privilege to be speaking with you just around a thought that God's really highlighted to me recently, which is around having a dissatisfaction with where we are at with God. So I firstly want to start off by asking you guys, have you ever been to a cafe, you've ordered something off the menu, it comes out, you eat it and you realize this is not what I ordered. You're like, this is not what I was expecting. Or for those of us in the room who have been online shopping, you order something, it comes in the mail, you look at it and you go, this looks nothing like what I saw on the internet. Who here would be the person to return that thing or would say something about your dissatisfaction with what you've gotten? Who here would be the one to be like, oh, I'll just deal with it and let someone else say something? I know that would be me because I'd be like, I'll just deal with it. But for those of us in the room who would actually do something and say something, we make a conscious decision to act on the dissatisfaction with our item or the thing that we have been given. I believe that God is wanting us to actually do the same in our walk with him. So having this holy dissatisfaction with where we're at with God, not a dissatisfaction in God, but where we are at in our walk with him. So first of all, I want to start off by reading from Galatians 5:16, which says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And then verse 25 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So I want to ask you guys, are you satisfied in where you're at with God? Have a think about it. Are you actually satisfied with where you are at in your journey with God? As I know for me personally, I am often not satisfied. I know time gets the better of me and I don't put enough time aside to spend with Him. So a quote that stood out to me recently that made me reevaluate my current position with God is this. To go deeper with God, you need a holy dissatisfaction with where you're at. So I'm going to read it again. To go deeper with God, you need a holy dissatisfaction with where you are at. So this leads me to my first point on how to actually address and overcome this sense of dissatisfaction with where you're at with God. So my first point is long for the Holy Spirit. So in Galatians 5, it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Spirit gives you desires that are opposite of what your sinful nature desires. And author Amy Simpson describes it and explains it this way. That our very dissatisfaction in our position with Jesus indicates a longing for God, and understanding these longings can actually bring us closer to relationship with Him. So what I am just going to encourage you this morning is actually think about those areas where you are longing to see God move in. Lean into them and actually ask God and recognize them and start to seek ways that you can actually create space to actually see those things change. So we need to long for the things of the Spirit, which can be easier said than done. But some ways that can actually help us stir our longing for the Holy Spirit is being in community of believers. So being in church, this helps us stir a longing for the Holy Spirit. Another thing that also is great in this area is actually testimonies. So the power of your testimony. So actually sharing what God has done in your lives with the people around you can actually stir them to long for God to do the same thing in their lives. So I encourage you guys, share your testimonies, whether how small or how big it is, it actually can stir other people to long and see God move in their lives. With that said, it is not just enough to desire and want God to move in your lives without actually making a conscious decision to make an effort to draw closer to God, which brings me to my second point, make a move. Right. So firstly, long for the Holy Spirit, but actually take action and make a move. We need to get so dissatisfied with where we're at with God that we have to make a move. We've come to a point where, like, we've had enough, I need to actually make a decision and move and make a difference. In Galatians 5, it speaks about how there are these two forces constantly fighting each other, the Holy Spirit and our sinful desires. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen a fight before. I know I've seen a few in my days working at a public high school, but a fight requires movement. I don't know, a fight without movement would be pretty pointless. It wouldn't be a fight. But in our walk with Jesus, I believe that we need to be constantly intentional about moving towards the Holy Spirit. Because as we do this, we're actually guarding ourselves from being vulnerable from the punches of the enemy, which are in the form of our sinful desires. With this, if we don't actually make a move and actually draw closer to God, we can find ourselves becoming stagnant in our walk with faith. We can find ourselves not prioritizing prayer, or simply on a connect night, we veg out on the couch at home and watch Netflix instead of actually being in the room with other believers that can actually help us stir our faith. It can be even as simple as experiencing self-doubt and having these negative thoughts that fill our mind. So this morning, my challenge to you is to actually think about these three things. So firstly, what is an area you are dissatisfied in terms of your walk with Jesus? Secondly, what are you longing to see Him do? What is an area that you want to see breakthrough in? And thirdly, what are you actually moving towards? So what are you actually practically doing to create space for God to move? This may look like putting aside time to pray. So actually setting aside a time where you're saying, God, I'm going to dedicate this time to you. It could be as simple as getting to connect. This week is Connect Week. So that's a great opportunity for you to be in a room full of believers and actually encourage one another. So I encourage you, get to Connect Group. It is amazing and you'll make great friends there. Another thing could be as simple as giving your tithes, or as we're coming into building our future, sowing into the next generations and actually saying, God, I'm going to trust you with what you have put in my hand. To end with, I encourage you that being guided by the Spirit can be scary and an unknown journey, but this is where faith comes in. So as we put our faith in God and what He wants for our lives, it actually allows for Him to unveil His desires for our lives. And as He does this, these desires and things that He wants to do in our lives can actually exceed our expectations and unveil some really beautiful plans and purposes that He has for us.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.